آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Inshallah this can stay stable, because what's on that is just the two suwar, Surah Al-Shams and Surah Al-Layl underneath it. It's not that important to display, but I just put it so you can have a look at it. If it keeps doing that, then perhaps if you just hold the Mus'haf with you and then you look at Surah Al-Shams and Surah Al-Layl, or if not, you'll understand inshallah as I just explain it. So inshallah ta'ala, today we're going to study Surah Al-Layl. But I had a new approach of doing this. And so firstly, inshallah ta'ala, what I'm going to try to do is establish some parallels between Surah Al-Layl and Surah Al-Shams. That's at the beginning. Then after this lesson, inshallah, the next thing we'll speak about is the layout of the surah. And then the third part, we'll be speaking, inshallah ta'ala, about the tafsir of ayah by ayah. And we'll analyze each word by its word, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. So to begin, inshallah ta'ala, the lesson shouldn't be that long. The first lesson is only dedicated to drawing the parallels between Surah Al-Layl and Surah Al-Shams. Basically, the point of the lesson is so you appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word, and you just see something that you've never seen of before in your life. And you know, you understand that the cohesion of the surah and how the surah are placed in the Qur'an, it's not a coincidence. It's not just, if anyone just put it in there, and that's why Surah Al-Baqarah was first, Surah Al-Fatiha is first, Surah Al-Baqarah is second, Surah Al-Imran is third, and so on. It wasn't coincidence. It wasn't put on like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed the order of the Qur'an the way it is in the Qur'an now. How do we know this? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he passed away, although the Qur'an, the way it was revealed, it's different to its order in the Mus'haf, the way it was revealed. So Surah Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, that came first, and then later on other ayat came, and then Surah, and then Surah Al-Baqarah is a Madani Surah, it came in the Medina period. Although that is the case, the order of revelation is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What proves this is that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just before he passed away, he said to his companions, ضعوا آية كذا في صورة كذا وضعوا آية كذا وكذا في صورة كذا وكذا. In other words, he told them, place this ayah in this surah, and place this surah after this, and this surah before this, and this ayah in this. In other words, he arranged the Qur'an for them before he died. Which arrangement? The one we have right now. So when Surah Al-Shams comes first, Surah Al-Layl comes after it, that is how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arranged it. And of course, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anything he says, in huwa illa wahyun yuha, it is only but revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, the arrangement of the Mus'haf is a wahy from Allah. That's one. The other thing that proves that, besides the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the other thing is that you'll see, and this is one huge example, you'll see that how awesome they're related to each other, and how parallels are drawn within one surah to another. You'll come to the conclusion that no one can do this except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you understand and when you learn the relationship between one surah and another, to the one after it, to the one before it, you will most definitely come to the conclusion that this has to be profound from Allah Azza wa Jal. And so this is the point of the lesson, inshallah ta'ala, today, to show you how they both relate to each other. So we begin, inshallah ta'ala, and the first thing we say, that in Surah Al-Shams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the beginning, He mentions, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى وَاللَّيْلِ جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. The very beginning of it, in the third ayah, He said, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. Basically, He mentioned the day, which is النهار, and then He mentioned the night, which is الليل. And He mentioned two verbs with them. So He said, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا, I swear by the day as it brights it up, as it brightens the sun up, and I swear by the night as it covers the sun up. Now, in Surah Al-Layl, what we see is that there's a reversal. So He reverses the sequence and He said, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. So the same verb is retained. Where we see is that in Surah Al-Shams, He began with the mention of the day, then the night, And in Surah Al-Layl, he mentioned the night first, then the day second, using the same verb for both of them. Now, let's just speak about why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begin Surah Al-Layl with Wal-Layli Iza Yaghsha? Why didn't it begin with the day? Why did it begin with the night? So the ulama, they say that, of course, Al-Layl means darkness. That's the night time. They say that this surah, Surah Al-Layl, was from the early surah to be revealed unto Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was in Mecca. It's an early Meccan surah. Actually, it's the sixth surah in order of revelation. The sixth surah. So it's a very early surah. And this is the time in where kufr was still manifest and spread. So Allah Azza wa Jal began with it, Wal-Layl, because it best describes the current situation of Mecca. Mecca at that time was still in layl, it was in darkness, it was in kufr and shirk. So it began with Wal-Layl, explaining the current situation that is around in Mecca. However, Surah Al-Shams, it came way after Surah Al-Layl. It came in a time where Islam was on the uprise. So he began with Wal-Shams, the sun, almost giving that indication that now Islam has become like a sun in the middle of the day. That's why it spread. So, yani subhanAllah, this began with the sun because the current situation was that Islam was, yani, was growing. And Surah Al-Layl began with Al-Layl because it's the sixth surah to be revealed. And during that time, Islam wasn't manifest, wasn't apparent. It was still dark days. It was kufr that was overtaking everything. So it began with Wal-Layli Iza Yaghsha. That's one. The second parallel now. So the first parallel is day, night, and then night, day. The second parallel. And this is something interesting to note, and it's from a grammatical syntax point of view, you could say. And that is that in the previous surah we learned, Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. And He said, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا. There's this attached pronoun, الضمير المتصل they call it. And that is the ha at the end. Whereas when you look at Surah Al-Layl, there is no ha. He just says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. There's no ha, there's no attachment. And so what does this attachment, what does it refer to? This ha, as we took in previous lessons, this ha is actually referring to the sun. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا, that meant Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, I swear by the day as it gives brilliance to the sun. Ha was the sun. And I swear by the night as it covers up the sun. The ha was the sun. Now in this surah, he only says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى. I swear by the night as it covers up. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. I swear by the day as it gives brilliance. Now automatically, what the benefit of this is, when you remove the attached pronoun, when that's removed, the benefit of that is that it almost forces you to make a question. So now when Allah says, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى, I swear by the night as it covers. The obvious question is, covers what? What does it cover? And Allah is saying, وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى, I swear by the day as it brightens. Brightens what? The question is what? So the answer of this is found in the previous surah when he said ha, which referred to the sun. So what happens here is that Surah Al-Layl almost forces you that you will not understand this surah unless you make your reference point Surah Al-Shams. This is how it's connected. SubhanAllah. So one surah, the Surah Al-Layl, is giving us the understanding that you will not understand it completely and fully unless you look to the previous surah. So when he said, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى, I swear by the night as it covers, you're asking, covers what? That's already answered in Surah Al-Shams. It covers the sun. And so you're forced to make it a reference point and go back to it always. And this is what we're saying, that there's a relationship between the two surah. That's the second thing. The third thing, this is also interesting, is the two verbs that I mentioned. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the day, al-nahar, He said jallaha, which is a past tense. Also when He spoke about the day in Surah Al-Layl, He said wal-nahari idha tajalla. That's also past tense. And when He spoke about, or when He described the night, He said wal-layli idha yaghshaha, And at the beginning of the surah, he said, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى يَغْشَاهَا يَغْشَى. Both are present tense. While تَجَلَّى and جَلَّاهَا are past tense. So now, why did Allah Azza wa Jal choose a past tense for the day? And why did He choose a present tense for the night? Now, this, we need to understand this. In the Arabic language, one of the benefits of the present tense is it implies incompletion or partiality. Something that's, yani something little by little by little, it's not complete, right? It's partial. And it comes in stages. That's what the, yani this is what the present tense alludes to in the Arabic language. So now, when Allah Azza wa Jal used it for the layl, the present tense, you know why? Because that's the nature of the layl. The layl doesn't come all in one hit. It doesn't come in all in one go. When the layl happens, it starts to begin from before Maghrib, and it keeps creeping in bit by bit, stage after stage after stage after stage, until it turns dark. Even then, when it's dark, it doesn't make everything invisible. You can still see things. So although the darkness does come, it's not complete darkness. It's incomplete darkness. And you know, the previous surah taught us that there is something of the light. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا. There is still remnants of the sun, and that is the moon itself. So although the darkness does eventually come onto the earth, yani when the layl, when the night overtakes the earth, when the night overtakes the earth, it doesn't come in all in one go. It comes partial, yani in stage. And even then, when it comes in stage, there's still some of the light remaining. And we said the present tense, what it implies is something that's incomplete and partial. Now, when Allah Azza wa Jal used the past tense for the day, one of the meanings of the past tense, what it implies, is something that's complete, something that's full. So He used that for the day, because when the day comes in, when the light comes in, all of a sudden everything is lit up. Everything is lit up, there's no darkness left. So the day doesn't come in stages, the night comes in stages, but the day, when the sun, immediately, as soon as the sun comes out, it is already day all over the place, right? So it comes in quick. And the layl and the night here is an actual reference to iman and kufr. To iman and kufr. You know, when someone is a kafir, think of that as being the night. When he commits himself to Islam, it's like going from night to day. How quick is the process from night to day? It's quick. The moment the sun comes out, it's already bright. So when someone is in deep kufr, so much in kufr, it's like he's in the middle of the night and he is exposed to iman and Islam and he commits to it, then it's immediate that the iman comes to him and it's quickly bright, because from night to day it's quick. But when someone has iman, think of that as being the day when the sun is out, from iman to kufr, it's not a quick process. It's something that goes stage by stage. This is why, yani, there are hadith that explain this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, he mentions about someone that leaves Salat al-Jumu'ah for 3 times. 3 weeks, you know. From 1 week, the heart is a black dot. The next week, another black dot. The third week, another black dot. You see how it's in stages? Kufr doesn't come all in one go. It'll be stages, stages, stages. And when you're in kufr, if someone has gone from iman to kufr, there's still a moon. That means there is still some iman left in him. And that's known as the fitrah. And after a night, there's always a day. So there's always this chance, as long as he still hasn't died, there is this chance that he can return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll clear this idea up, inshallah, when we begin the tafsir of this surah. Okay, so this is the third thing. And that is yani, the present tense and the past tense and how it continues. So he used the present tense for the layl in both surah, and the past tense for the nahar in both surah. And this is the type of meaning it gave us. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. The fourth parallel we see in the surah. And this is the next oath in surah al-layl. So, وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى. After it. And listen, this is very interesting. He says, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. Allah Azza wa Jal is taking an oath. He's saying, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. This ma could be understood as ma al-mawsoola or ma al-masdariya, exactly like وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا. If you remember when we explained وَمَا طَحَاهَا,
We said that means, and how amazing is the one who leveled it, and how amazing is the one who built it. That's if we took it as mal masdariya. If we're taking it as mal masdariya, وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى would mean, and how amazing, how remarkable is the creation of male and female. That's one. That's a parallel. Exactly the same meaning there, same meaning here. The other thing is that وَمَا طَحَاهَا could be مَال مَوْصُولَ. مَال مَوْصُولَ, in other words, وَالَّذِي طَحَاهَا, and I swear by the one who leveled it, and I swear by the one who banaha, by the one who created it. In other words, who's that? That's Allah. So وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى could also mean, and I swear by the one who created the male and the female, who's that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in both surah, that ayah, wama, referred to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it also referred to the remarkable, amazing creation of the heavens, of the earth, of the sky, and of the earth, and also to the remarkable, amazing creation of the male and female. Now, this is what's interesting. In Surah Al-Shams, he said, وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا, and he said, وَالْأَرْضِ. Now in this surah, after the Layl and Nahar, he did not say anything about the Sama and the Ard. Rather, he said something about the male and the female. Right? This is what was found. What's the parallel between the two? There's a huge parallel between them. And this is that the sky and the earth, they go together for a larger purpose. So the sky, it works in cohesion with the earth to produce vegetation, right? The earth could not produce what it produces unless it gets help from the sky and the water that comes down from the sky. Otherwise, the earth, nothing will grow. It needs to work with the sky so that it can give produce and give the vegetation and plantation. And subhanAllah, what we're trying to say is that they work together, the sky and the earth, they work together for the process of life to continue. And similarly, the male and female, they work together so they can continue the process of life. So the plant life on the earth, it's like the earth gets impregnated with the plants, just like the female gets impregnated by the male. So there's these parallels and these parables of the process of life that take two very different, completely two different things, but they're actually both two things that work together. So yani subhanAllah, you see that as-sama wal-ard, they both work together. One drops the water on the earth, and then the earth gives birth to plants. And the female and male, they also work together to keep the life going, to keep this process of life going. The male waters into the female, and then the female gives birth to what he had watered inside of her. For subhanAllah, the sun and the sky, the earth, and the dhakar wal-untha, exactly the same. Subhanallah. طيب. Now the fifth parallel we find. In the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned different aspects of His takhliq, the concept or the process of creation. In the previous surah, when He spoke about creation, He said, وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا, created it, constructed it. وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا طَحَاهَا, that He leveled it out, right? He mentioned two things of what He created. In Surah Al-Layl, what happens is that He said, وَمَا خَلَقَ. He said the word خَلَقَ, which means to create. So subhanAllah, the word خَلَقَ is much more comprehensive. So it sort of sums up what was in the previous surah of partial words that were used to illustrate something of Allah's creation. بَنَاهَا is of Allah's creation. طَحَاهَا is from Allah's creation. What's a word that sums up all this? خَلَقَ. The word khalaqa. So this surah came to use a comprehensive word, and in Surah Al-Shams it came in detail to speak about what type of khalq did he make. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam for this one. Okay. So now the sixth parallel we find is that in Surah Al-Shams, most of it came, or basically all of it came in third person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He spoke in third person. وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ, He succeeded. وَقَدْ خَابَ, was in failure, the one who put his nafs in the dust and so on. It was all in third person. In Surah Al-Layl, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a switch and comes to second person. For example, فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى, I warn you of a burning, blazing fire. Now, what's important to note is, what is the difference between third person and second person? You know, when you speak in third person, then yani basically that's general. That's general speech. So for example, if I say, a person should be good, a person should be generous, he also should be kind. That's just, I'm speaking general. So it could be any person, not necessarily you. I'm talking in general terms. That's third person. But when I say you, I'm talking, when I say you, you should be a good person, you should be a kind person, then I'm speaking to you. And I'm basically taking universal lessons and I'm making it applicable directly to you. So the previous surah had these universal lessons in third person. But now we're learning that they're not just there for you to think about in theory. These lessons apply to you directly. So there's a switch from the third person, which is universal messages, to second person, specifically to you, to the audience. And the audience began from the original audience, of course, of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and anyone else that hears it. So Surah Al-Shams is kind of, you sit down and you hear it, and you're sort of thinking about everyone else but you. Surah Al-Layl now comes and tells you those very same messages, they're actually for you, right? And so now Allah Azza wa Jal begins to speak in the second person. So almost it goes from being general to exactly specifying you in speech. The seventh one we find in this surah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He taught us in Surah Al-Shams this incredible balanced creation of the nafs, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala programmed it to recognize and gave it the ability to recognize what's bad and to recognize what's good. Right? وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَهَا. That was mentioned in Surah Al-Shams. We were told of how amazing this nafs is and how everyone's been given this sense of ability to recognize what's good and what's bad. In Surah Al-Layl, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. Which means all your efforts are all over the place. Everyone does everything, whatever he wants. And what that means is some are doing good, some are doing bad. So what we learn here is that although we all know what's good and what's bad, and Allah already taught us this, each and every single one of us knows what's good and what's bad. In Surah Al-Layl, He tells us the reality. Although everyone knows what's good and bad, the thing is that we don't find everyone doing the same thing. Not everyone is doing the same thing. إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. All your efforts are all in all different directions. So the people that are doing corruption, people that are doing righteous deeds, people are corrupt, people are bad, people are good, people are evil, and so on. سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. Once we get to the ayah, we'll explain it even further. But this is what it means. All your efforts are in all different directions. Where in Surah Al-Shams, He taught us that everyone was given the same capability of recognizing what's good and what bad. In Surah Al-Layl, gives you the reality that not everyone is the same. Everyone is doing, yani everyone is in different directions. This is the seventh one we find in the surah. Now, the eighth parallel between the two surah is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, that's internal, that's something that takes place inside. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا, He inspired inside of yourself to recognize the good and the bad, that's inside. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, if you cleanse your nafs, where's that? It's inside. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, and if you disregard the nafs, where's that? That's inside. So basically Surah Al-Shams was speaking about the inwards of man, of the person, inside. However, now in Surah Al-Layl, He said, إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ, your efforts. Where are the efforts? In the inside or the outside? Your actions, that's from the outside. So the Surah Al-Shams spoke about inside of us, and Surah Al-Layl spoke about the outward attitude of the human being and what comes out from the outside. Okay, so now the ninth parallel we find between the two surah. That in Surah Al-Shams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. The one who cleansed it, the one who was able to clean themselves literally, they are the ones who've actually already attained success. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. And يعني in the previous, of course, in the previous surah, which is Surah Al-Shams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He just left it as a declaration, as a fact. Whoever made an attempt to cleanse it, the nafs, then he has attained success. The how was not answered, right? The how is a question mark that remained. How does one cleanse himself? So now Surah Al-Layl came to explain to us the how. So he says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى. As for the one who أعطى gave, and of course gave everything that Allah Azza wa Jal commanded him to give, أعطى واتقى, and he was fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وصدق بالحسنى, and he believed in الحسنى, which is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now Surah Al-Shams told us that the one who tries to clean himself attains success. How? Read on in Surah Al-Layl, it tells you how. أما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى. In Surah Al-Shams, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وقد خاب من دساها. And the one who fails is the one who disregards his nafs. That's the failure. Okay, how do you fail? That wasn't mentioned in Surah Al-Shams. It's mentioned in Surah Al-Layl. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. As for the one who bakhila, who withheld and was stingy and tight from everything that Allah commanded him to give. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَاسْتَغْنَى. And he had this carefree attitude. I don't need anyone. Right? Just like Thamud in the previous surah. They didn't care about anyone. That's why they went and committed their crime. مَسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And he disbelieved in al-husna, which is the Qur'an and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. If you do those three, then you قَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. You have failed. And you have يعني, disregarded this nafs. The 10th parallel we find in the surah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the previous surah, he said, كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا. That Thamud lied because of their طُغْيَان, because of their rebellion, because they rebelled against their messenger. Now in this surah, Surah Al-Layl, Allah Azza wa Jal, he teaches us the root problem of طُغْيَان. Why do people rebel? Why do people rebel? So he mentioned in this surah, and this is in the ayah, وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. This ayah, استغنى, this word is استغنى. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ. يعني, in other words, what Allah Azza wa Jal is teaching us, that the root problem of طغيان, of rebelling against Allah, is money, is being stingy. When you see yourself with a lot of wealth, and so much wealth, you begin to develop this attitude that I don't need anyone. Right? Imagine you're living at $1,000 that your boss is paying you a week. You have nothing except this. You're obviously always going to be obedient towards him because you need that 1,000. But imagine you win the jackpot or something like this, something that of halal means. Someone came and gave you $1,000,000. Well, bit by bit, you wouldn't care about your boss anymore because you have $1,000,000. Who cares about his $1,000 paycheck at the end of the week? So you begin to build this attitude inside of you that I'm carefree, I don't need anyone. So Allah Azza wa Jal teaches us that the root problem that causes people to rebel against Allah is the fact that they find themselves wealthy. The idea of being wealthy is the idea that I don't need anyone. Right? So this problem is mentioned in this surah, and Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Alaq, كَلَّا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَيَطْغَى. No doubt about it, the human being, he rebels when أَرَّاهُ اسْتَغْنَى, when he sees himself rich and he doesn't need anyone, that's the time he will rebel. So almost the word طُغْيَان is mentioned there, and the word استغنى is mentioned here to teach you that they didn't just rebel like this. There was a problem. There was a root cause of this rebellion. You want to find out what it is? Read on in Surah Al-Layl, and that's where it's explained, مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى, and how this attitude builds inside of one when he has a lot of wealth, and what it does to him, to the fact that he is able to turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command and rebel against him. He doesn't need anyone, basically. That is mentioned in that surah. And this is the parallel between the two. Allahu a'lam. Now, this is also interesting. The 11th one. In the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا. فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَعَقَرُوهَا. The nation of Thamud, they lied against the messenger. That's their first crime. And the ultimate crime, which is their second crime, the second crime they committed was that they violated the miracle that Allah had sent to them, which was what? The she-camel. That was a miracle from who? From Allah. So what did they do? They lied against their messenger, and they also killed, and they turned, and then they killed a miracle that was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about Quraysh. Obviously, because Surah Al-Layl, we said it's an early Meccan surah, and the audience is Quraysh. Quraysh also had the two problems. What did they do? Allah Azza wa Jal says in this surah, الَّذِي كَذَّبَ, the one who lied, and they lied against the truth, just like the people of Thamud lied against Salih, فَكَذَّبُوهُ. And they did something else, which is, الَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. وَتَوَلَّى. Now understand, وَتَوَلَّى. I said that عَقَرُوهَا is that they killed what? The miracle of Allah. The miracle of Allah for the people of Thamud was the sheep. The miracle of Allah for the people of Quraysh was what? The Quran. So, الَّذِي كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى, they also committed the two crimes. They lied. And تَوَلَّى means to turn away. Turn away from what? From the miracle that Allah Azza wa Jal had sent them, which was the Quran. So therefore, it shows that two crimes were committed there, and the same two crimes are being mentioned here, which is lying against the messenger and turning away from Allah's miracle in both cases. Because there was no sheep. There was no camel for Quraysh. So the sign, the message of Allah Azza wa Jal, the miracle of Allah to them was the Quran itself. Now the 12th one is that in the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demanded on the kuffar, Allah's demand on the kuffar, or on the people, was stay away from the camel. Naqat Allahi wa suqiyaha, stay away from the camel. Stay away from it, do not attack it, do not come near it. And in the case of the Quran, which is in Surah Al-Layl, Allah Azza wa Jal, he didn't say to kuffar Quraysh, stay away from the Quran. He's saying come towards the Quran, but they did exactly opposite to it. So, subhanAllah, what we understand is that in Surah Al-Layl, the Prophet said, stay away from this camel. In Surah Al-Layl, they're being told, come to the Quran. And what are they doing? They're staying away from the Quran. So, in other words, the command of both Prophets, Salih and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, were disobeyed. One said, stay away from the camel. The other one said, come to the Quran. They said, I will stay away from it. Right? So this is and the other ones, they came to it. He says, stay away from the camel, they came. Here, come to the Quran, they stayed away from it. So you see how they're both in contrast to each other. Now, this is also something beautiful that is mentioned in the two surah. In Surah Al-Shams, the Prophet of Allah, which is Salih alayhi salam, he said to them, Naqat Allahi, watch out for the camel of Allah. Watch out, stay away from it. In other words, watch out from the camel. Naqat Allahi wa suqiyaha, and watch out for its drinking place. Don't come near these two. And he warned them. That's warning. I warn you, don't come near the camel. I warn you, don't come near its place of drink. Now, in Surah Al-Layl, we find a warning, but not from a prophet. A warning now that supersedes that warning. It's coming from Allah Azza wa Jal. So he says, فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى, I warn you from a blazing fire. Now the warning has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's of course a warning beyond all warnings of any prophet. So subhanallah, there was a warning in that surah from the prophet, but in Surah Al-Layl, now the warning is absolutely coming from Allah. أَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى, I am warning you, not any prophet now, it's Allah directly, from a blazing fire. Interestingly also, in the previous surah, this is the 13th, a parallel, we heard the word al-ashqa, إِذِمْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا, that the most evil, the most wretched from the people of Quraysh, from the people of Thamud, got up and went all by himself with a group of helpers with him. He went and he killed this camel. He killed the camel. Allah called him إِذِمْ بَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا, the worst, the evil, the most evil of them. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in this surah, the one that is described as al-ashqa, what does he get on the day of judgment? So Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى لَا يَصْلَاهَا إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى, لَا يَصْلَاهَا إِلَّا الْأَشْقَى. So in Surah Al-Shams, we heard something of al-ashqa, and we knew that al-ashqa, the one that got up and killed the camel. But what did Allah Azza wa Jal promise him on the day of judgment? Now it comes in this surah, he says, يصل يعني أنذرتكم نار تلظى blazing fire لا يصلها. No one will be thrown inside of it إلا الأشقى, except the أشقى. So we read that Ashqa there, and that's his punishment on the Day of Judgment, and he's thrown in the hellfire. Okay, the other thing is that in the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned to us the consequence of يعني, the action of Al-Ashqa in this dunya. He said, فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ. Because they rebelled and they killed the camel, and they يعني, turned away from the messenger and they belied him, Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed them in this life. How? فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ. We already understood and took these words, that he flattened them out, he balanced them out. In other words, that they sunk into the earth. That's how much he flattened and pounded them. That was their punishment in the dunya, for the ashqa. His punishment in the hereafter is mentioned in the other surah, which is Surah Al-Layl, and that is فَأَنذَرْتُكُمْ نَارًا تَلَظَّى. So both surah mentioned a punishment. Surah Al-Shams mentioned a dunya punishment, فَدَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ, and Surah Al-Layl mentioned a punishment, but is an akhirah punishment on the Day of Judgment. And finally, the last parallel we find in the surah is not limited to these, I'm sure there's many more, but this is what I can join in the time I was given, on the time I had. And this is the last one, is that Allah Azza wa Jal concluded Surah Al-Shams by saying, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. This is Allah Azza wa Jal's attitude against the wretched, against the evil, against the corrupt. He said, لَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. He does not fear the consequences. Yani, whatever you fear, whatever you threaten Allah Azza wa Jal with, he doesn't fear the consequences of it. He does what he wants, and he doesn't fear that someone will retaliate and do something similar to what he did, because that cannot happen. So Allah Azza wa Jal said, وَلَا يَخَافُ عُقْبَاهَا. So his attitude towards the wretched is in the previous surah. Here, Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Al-Layl, he mentions the attitude towards the righteous. So he ends it off by saying, وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى, وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى. And subhanAllah, وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى, meaning that this person will be extremely pleased, will be extremely happy, will be extremely pleased with what Allah Azza wa Jal gives him. The other difference is that in the previous surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, he qualified his punishment. He qualified his punishment. So in the previous surah, how did Allah punish the people of Thamud? He said, دَمْدَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِذَنْبِهِمْ فَسَوَّاهَا. دَمْدَمْ and سَوَّاهَا. In other words, he pounded them, and then he flattened them. That was the punishment that was described. It was qualified. There was a specific punishment. But in this surah, when he says, وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى, he said, Allah Azza wa Jal, that the person will be pleased. He didn't mention what Allah will give him that will make him pleased. There was no qualifier, it wasn't qualified. Allah Azza wa Jal just said, he will be pleased. Meaning he'll give him so much on the Day of Judgment that he is pleased. And he doesn't even mention what it is, as opposed to the previous surah when he spoke about the punishment, he spoke what the punishment was. And that was enough. But in this surah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is unlimited, so he cannot qualify it and put something. So he said, وَلَا سَوْفَ يَرْضَى. Just, you will be pleased. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jal gives you, as much as he gives you on that day, then you will be pleased with it. And this comes to the conclusion of our first lesson. And the first lesson, as we said, was the parallels between the two surah. InshaAllah ta'ala, next week, we will take the tafsir of the surah and the layout of the surah. The time it was revealed in Mecca, and how the ayat come within each other. And وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى وَمَا خَلَقَ الذَّكَرَ وَالْأُنْثَى. That's the object of the earth, and the subject, the response of the earth, is إِنَّ سَعْيَكُمْ لَشَتَّى. How does the subject of the earth relate with the object of the earth? بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That is for next week. And much more, inshallah ta'ala, will explain. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى وَفَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. That will be explained next week. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.